Our scripture this morning from Matthew's Gospel, the first chapter, beginning with verse number 18. Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse number 18. Gospel according to Matthew, the first chapter, beginning with the 18th verse. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But when he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Amen.
We read for you hearing from Matthew's Gospel, the first chapter, verses 18 through 25. May the Lord continue to bless us through his word. From these verses of Scripture, we would like to share with you, using for a subject, are you ready for Christmas?
Amen.
Are you ready for Christmas? This question will undoubtedly be said many times between now and the 25th of December. Are you ready for Christmas? Now, I suppose what is really being asked is, have you put up all your Christmas decorations? Have you finished your Christmas shopping? Have you mailed your Christmas cards? Have you put on your calendar all the places you're supposed to go? Are you ready for Christmas? You see, we meet ourselves coming and going, so we call it the Christmas rush. Sometimes the Christmas season becomes very hectic, and because of that, we tend to forget much of the reason for the season. You see, when we ask the question, are you ready for Christmas, we're really asking about more than your activities. We're asking about your attitudes, because every once in a while, I hear somebody say, I just can't get into the Christmas spirit. You see, Christmas says that God became a human being. God expressed his love by living amongst us, by walking with us and talking to us. That's what Christmas means. But what are the right attitudes we ought to have so that Christmas can really happen in our homes and within our lives? You see, I like Joseph. You see, he doesn't stand in the spotlight very long, and we don't know a whole lot about his life. But Joseph can teach us a lot about attitudes. See, attitudes that can make Christmas real in our lives. You see, first of all, Joseph taught us that you ought to be ready to accept God's will, whatever it might be. Joseph was open to the will and the leading of God the Father. You see, he put himself into his position. You should put yourself into this position. Joseph thought his life was pretty well planned out. He was pledged to be married, which means that he and Mary had made all the necessary arrangements, and the wedding ceremony was soon to take place. Joseph knew that he would marry Mary and that they would settle down in this quaint little town of Nazareth. He would continue on in his carpentry business, and they would live happily together ever after. But then Mary came to him, and I don't know how she said it. I don't know how she presented it to him, but basically she said, "Joseph, I'm expecting a baby." Must have hit him like a bombshell. See, he thought that Mary was as crazy about him as he was about her, but now seemingly she had been unfaithful to him. He knew the child was not his, and so the only conclusion that he could reach was that she had been unfaithful. She had broken the bond that existed between the two of them. Now, according to the law, Mary was supposed to be stoned to death. But Joseph loved her so much that he didn't want to do that. So he decided to divorce her quietly. And as he was thinking about it, an angel came to Joseph in a dream. And in effect, he said, "Joseph, trust God. He's in this. You may not understand all that's happening, but just trust God. And everything is going to be all right." You see, Joseph, undoubtedly a man of faith, but sometimes it's hard to live by faith. See, if God always does what we expect him to do, then maybe it's easy to have faith. But when God doesn't do what we expect, then faith becomes kind of hard in our lives. But Joseph trusted God, even though he must have had a list of questions a mile long. He still trusted God because he believed that God's will was the best for his life. Amen. You see, we can find ourselves in much the same position as Joseph was. Christmas comes as a time of peace, but there's conflict. Christmas comes as a time of joy, but there's so much sadness. Christmas comes as a time of love, but there's so much hatred in our world. And we cry out just like Joseph did. God, how can this be? But like Joseph, we must hear a still small voice from God saying quietly, "Trust me." See, God's ways are not always our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and we may never understand everything that God is doing on this side of heaven, but God says, "Trust me," and it's still going to work out. Even Paul wrote, we know that in all things, God works for the good for those who love them and who have been called according to his purpose. Christmas happened because Joseph trusted God, and we need to learn to trust God also. Joseph also knew how to care about other people. You know, Joseph's assignment was a pretty simple one. And that's the way we often portray him in the Christmas plays. When we have the play, we'll sit around and over on one side, there's the excited shepherds coming to see the baby. And over on the other side, you have the wise men with their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And in the midst of them all is the Christ child in the manger, looking all pure and clean. And on the side, over in the corner, stands Joseph. He's not in a starring role. But his part is awful important. His task is this: take care of Mary and the baby Jesus. You see, Joseph had the important role of caring for the needs of others. Christmas comes once a year, and this season probably causes us to be more sensitive to the needs of others. But there's so much that needs to be done that we often find ourselves just simply frustrated. But still we try. Christmas came because Joseph cared about Mary and Jesus. It will also come for us when we learn to care about others just like Joseph did. Now Christmas came to Joseph because Joseph was willing to give. He gave whatever he had to give. He didn't know that after Jesus was born that he would have to take Mary and the baby and run down and hide in Egypt. He didn't know that he would be separated from his hometown and his loved ones and had to stay down there for a long period of time. He didn't know that all the demands that would be made on not only his time but his pocketbook as well. But whatever God asked of him, Joseph freely gave. See, that's what Christmas is all about. When God gave himself, Christmas happened. When Joseph gave himself, Christmas happened. There's nothing wrong with giving gifts, but the greatest gift is the gift of love. That's what God said at Christmas time. You can have me. I give myself. That is still the greatest gift of all. Are you ready for Christmas? I don't know if you'll be able to get all your shopping done or not. I don't know if you'll be able to attend all of the events that you want to attend. But I hope you're ready in attitude. I hope you're ready for the real spirit of Christmas to come. Because if you're ready for that, Christmas will happen. It'll happen in the greatest way of all. You see, Jesus stands before us today and in the presence of the Holy Spirit invites us to make important decisions about our lives and our eternity. Every Christmas, it comes to the forefront that we as a people need to make sure that we're aware that one day this baby Jesus who was born and became a man who died on a hill called Calvary ascended up into heaven to be with his Father once again is coming back again. Amen. And when he comes back again, he's going to catch up all of us who have dared to confess him with our mouths, believed and called upon his name, and received him as Savior. When he comes, he will call you by your name. Amen. And those of us who have dared to accept him into our lives in the midst of all the stuff that's going on here will be caught up to greet him in the air. Amen. Christmas is more than the gaiety of the sights. Amen. But but it's the attitude and the understanding that we celebrate the birth as well as the life of one who makes it possible for each of us to have a right to the tree of life once again. Are you, make it personal, am I ready for Christmas? May God bless you. May God bless you. May we stand, please. The difficulty of the Word of God penetrating the hearts of mankind in this day and age is that we have a tendency to be rational in our beliefs and our understanding. Salvation, according to the Bible, is simple. It's not complicated. It says, if thou would just confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Regardless of whatever translation you use, primarily that is the statement of salvation. If you just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, thou shalt be saved. It did not say you have to stop shooting dope. Did not say you have to put down your liquor bottle. Did not say you have to stop being promiscuous. Did not say you have to leave the one you're shacking with. It says right wherever you are at that moment, accept God's Son that tugs at your heart daily, and thou shalt be saved. It also says, if you just call upon the name of Jesus, thou shalt be saved. Put nothing else to it. That's how simple it is. Satan is trying to tell you, as long as you're in the midst of the stuff that you're in, God will not accept you. He'll take you just as you are right now. Regardless of what the church says, regardless of what mom or dad says, or uncle or aunt or best friend, as you are, he receives you just as you are. It's up to him to remove the stuff that you bring. But you come, you accept him as Savior. Perhaps there's somebody here this morning who, after allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to come in, convict, change you where you are. You've accepted him. You received him in your heart. You're now saved. We'd like for you to publicly proclaim it just by stepping out in the aisle, coming forward, giving your hands to the officers who stand here before you now. I remind you, the salvation is not what you do after you step out. Salvation takes place right where you stand. And when you move to the aisle, that's just a further explanation to show us that Christ is in you as you come forward. And they'll share the salvation story with you. So if there is one, this is your opportunity to come forward. Give your hands to the officers who stand here before you. This is your opportunity to publicly proclaim Jesus Christ as Savior. If you're here, will you come? Perhaps you're one who is already saved. You know the Lord as Savior. But you've been praying and you've asked the Lord to guide you to a place where he would have you to fellowship with a body of believers. He's guided you here to Shiloh. We'd love to have you to come be a part of this family. And they come either on your Christian experience or by letter. This is your opportunity also to come forward. Extend your hands to the office who are here. If you're here, will you come? Will you come? Will you come? Amen. Amen. It's prayer time, shall we? Those of you who know the worth and the work of prayer, we ask you to come forward to the altar. Those you may wish to pray for, if you stand in need of prayer, will you come?
Pastor preached, "Are you ready for Christmas?" My mind started rolling back. Everything that God has done for us. Are we ready this Christmas season to show God how much we love Him? We realize the sacrifice that He has made. But He did it out of love. And as my mama would say, baby, talk is cheap. It's time to put some things into action. We could talk it all day, but if we're not really living up to what we're talking about, my mama say, keep it. So as we go in prayer, keep that in mind. Our attitudes toward God, our attitudes towards each other. We have a prayer list that has numerous names on it. We have families, bereavement recently, the family of Michael Lewis, the Chambers family. And if I name them, I'll miss them. So those that are on the list, I pray that we keep them in prayer during this time of season of Christmas. Not only those, but those that in our military, because they are away from their families. They're away from their families throughout the year. But during the Christmas season, it's extra special to keep them in prayer. We'll be around with our families enjoying Christmas. And those in the armed forces will be away from their families. So we pray that God will do what He does in situations like that, but allow us to be mindful of some of the benefits that we don't, that they don't have, that we have. It's important. Let us pray. Spirit of the Most High God, we approach Thee now in the name of Your Son, Jesus the Christ, the babe that came through the Virgin Mary, the babe that grew up into a young man, the babe who had an appointment in life to come live, share the gospel, heal, deliver, open the eyes of the blind. He came, God, for a purpose, not only just to do those miracles, God, but He came for a purpose to die. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That was His plight in life. He honored His Father's will. He asked that this cup could pass 3 times. But not Thy will, not my will, Lord, but Thy will be done. When we think about Christmas, we think about our attitudes, we think about our love to Christ. God, I pray that You allow us to really sink down, think real hard about just how much You love us. just how much you have done for us, how much you've done through us. God, when we weren't at our best, God, you were still at your best. When we still couldn't quite get that bottle out of our hands, you were still there, God. When we still, Lord, were still lying, you were still there. We thank you, God, that you said we got to bring our sins to you. Bring them to you, Lord, and ask for forgiveness. Because, God, you already died for that. You died for our current sins, past sins, and those to come. So, God, that's a love thing. That's a thing, God, that we have to reflect on each and every day. Just how much you love us. During this Christmas season, God, I pray that we can reciprocate that love to one another. Lord, love somebody that you aren't expecting them to love you back. Love those enemies, Lord God, that despitefully use us, Lord God. Allow us to really love somebody, Lord God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, for your presence in this church. We thank you, God, for each and every person in this church right now. Whatever their concerns are, whatever their requests are, Lord God, we know you will meet them at their need. Lord God, we can praise you right now because you're going to meet somebody today. You're going to meet a need at the end of this week, Lord God. You're going to meet a need by the end of this month, Lord God. So God, we say thank you right now for what you're going to do. God, we love you, Lord God. Sometimes I wonder whether or not we know the difference between love and admiration. Ha! Love and admiration. But God loved us so that he sent his son. He created a body. He created a baby for us to realize that he was coming to give us eternal life. He was coming to give us a chance to accept life or death. Lord God, we thank you for your chance that you gave us, God. And we thank you for those that have accepted that chance. And it's not a bad risk, Lord God. It is a blessing in disguise. It's a blessing, God. We didn't have to do anything. We didn't have to die. We just had to believe in your son. So I pray, God, as we continue this season of Christmas, the love of Christmas, Lord God, the reason for the season is Jesus the Christ, who came as a babe. And yes, he is coming back again. So, Lord God, we look to the hills from which cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord. So, God, thank you for each and every moment that you strengthen us. You encourage us. You forgive us, Lord God. And you just love on us with the unconditional love of Jesus the Christ. Lord God, we bless you. We pray, God, that you will continue the blessing of this household of faith. Continue blessing the angel of this church, Lord God, and his wife. Strengthen them, Lord God. Build them up. Hold them up, Lord God, in the palm of your almighty hand. Lord God, we will ever be so grateful in everything we do to give you the praise, glory, and honor. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.